595 is Cullman's Independent Radio. And now, it's time for Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Cullman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Cullman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And no lawyer on this show actually helped write that disclaimer. And now, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to another edition of Understanding the Law. Tuesday, May 16th, 2017, and Melvin, it's getting warm outside.
It is officially summertime.
You ever heard that song, It's Getting Hot in Here?
It's getting hot in here. We're not going to finish that out or do a video on it or nothing like that.
All righty then. Look, we got a full house. Danielle, associate producer.
Associate?
What was it supposed to be?
She's your associate when she wants to be. There you go.
Yeah, executive producer. Look, it's hot and I can't think. Abby, our intern from Hartzell, is in the house. So she's going to try to, she's going to try to keep us straight while we drink Coke and eat candy. And it's usually something that I don't do because Coke will make you burp and I don't want to burp on air. So I'll try not to drink too much. So we're going to cover several subjects probably this evening. We've got some emails that come in about some different subjects, and we're going to cover child support. Don't forget, if you want to give us a call, 256-737-9505 if you have a question for Melvin to answer. And it doesn't actually have to be the subject material that we are covering tonight. You can just ask him any question that you want and kind of throw him a curveball. He likes those.
After a long day.
Yes. Well, now, say that again slowly. Well, look, Melvin, I know we're going to talk about child support, but let's talk about one of the emails that just come in to me. So I'm going to read it to you and get your opinion on this. So this person that sent the email in said that they'd bought a car from a location in Alabama and was told that the car had never been wrecked. And I believe that they'd paid cash for it and went the past weekend to trade the vehicle in for another vehicle, only to find out that the car that they purchased from this company had two VIN numbers on it. I guess one in the windshield and actually one on the driver's door. Now, they were told that the car was never wrecked. But yet, when they done a Carfax themselves, they seen the car was totaled in March of 2015. And she purchased, or he purchased, either or, the car in November 2015. So I'm sure now they're going, hey, the car was wrecked. They lied to me. What do I do? You know, because I'm sure they're ready to sue somebody. Or they're wanting their money back. I mean, I would be kind of ill also.
Yeah, uh-oh. Isn't that what Scooby-Doo or Shaggy would say? Uh-oh. It'd be Scooby-Doo. Yeah, that one's, they probably got, I mean, the car, whoever, the car dealer's probably got some problems on that, especially if they run a Carfax and they kind of warranty and tell them, hey, this car is clean, there ain't been no wrecks on it, and this person goes, pulls the Carfax and finds it there. The car dealer's got some problems.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, that's something you'd have to look into. Now, I'm sure the car dealer's going to say, hey, we didn't know nothing about it. But, you know, if they've got a vehicle they're selling to someone and they're saying, hey, this thing hadn't been wrecked, they've warranted it.
Right.
You know, and you have to look into it a little bit. Have to see, is this a used car or a new car? You know, more than likely it's probably, I'm sure it's a used car. And I would imagine since there's two VIN numbers, they, and she knew, and whoever it was knew it was wrecked, they probably took the, I'm sure the door was probably replaced. I've
exactly.
Never even thought about that, you know,
exactly.
having two serial numbers, that's pretty novel. And I don't know how much the dealership, I mean, what kind of response, well, somebody found out about it. She's traded in. Somebody realized it, that right. it was two different VIN numbers. So, you know, a lot of times you have to look at what's the normal industry, what's the trade, what does the normal course of business for a trade, if car dealers are uniformly around, say, hey, you know, we confirm VIN numbers on doors and on the windshield to make sure they're the same. And these people didn't do it, then this car dealership's in problem. The car dealer's got some issues. You know, they definitely either need to give her money back or try to trade out with her and hope that they get this thing resolved, because they probably gonna be in some problems.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're definitely gonna pay some money. So
yeah, you know, they the new one that kind of brings me back to the old BMW case when the Supreme Court of Alabama kind of took a turn on how they handle cases. There was a, I think it was a Birmingham dealer maybe, or somewhere, it was a BMW dealer, and there's a brand new car, and it had got messed up during transport, I guess, or when it was on lot, so they had it painted and did things to it, but then they sold it as a brand new car and didn't disclose it, and when the person found out about it, they sued them and got a big jury verdict, and the Supreme Court of Alabama at that point, it's been a few years ago, 20-something years ago, decided to just take it away from them. I don't know why.
Alrighty.
They said it was, I guess I'd have to read the case. That's kind of where they started the frivolous lawsuits type stuff, and they made a big deal out of it. But, you know, if you're hiding something, especially a big dealer like that, if you're hiding something and you know it, and then you're fraud, I mean, it's obviously they frauded the person.
Oh, yeah.
You know, didn't disclose that to them, and I don't know why they take it out, but there's probably this car dealer's got some issues. There's no doubt about that.
Well, you know, because we don't live in a perfect society, there's a lot of good car dealerships out there that will do anything and everything they can for you as a customer. They want your repeat business. Mm-hmm. And then you have some that just don't care. Let's just say it like it is. They're going to do whatever they can to sell you a car, even though it's not right. That's just how it goes.
Yes.
Now, when they get caught, that's a whole different story then. You've completely lost your business, paying your fines, and going to prison sometimes.
That, yes. And then the, you know, a lot of businesses and what we've learned and what I've seen, you know, you don't have too many people talking about what good stuff you do, but boy, they sure will talk about the bad stuff you do. So, So I'm sure that this car dealership, whoever this is probably, made a lot of people know not to go to this car dealership.
Exactly.
What had happened to them. So yeah, you know, they're better off business wise just to make this right.
Yep. You know, and I think in Coleman, we've had several instances of several different car dealerships that have done wrong and got their hands slapped and paid some money and served some time. Now, you know, I think one of the biggest things was back in the 70s, 60s, 70s, and even into the 80s before we got digital, everybody would roll back the mileage on that little spindle thing. So it may have 120,000, they'd whip it down to 30,000 miles, sell it like that, and there you go.
I think when you buy a car, don't you sign the little affidavit, I think, that the speedometer's correct.
Exactly.
That you hadn't done
anything. Exactly.
So I guess that if that's an affidavit, I don't know if that reaches the level of perjury, but you can get yourself in trouble probably doing that stuff. I guess that's why they did that. I don't know.
Yeah.
They try to scare people about
perjury. Well, you can't do anything when you're digital. So
no, it's there.
But the old timey, though, they did do that. And I can remember actually one case here at Coleman where it happened, and I think the gentleman got some time out of it. So, wow. Is it really worth it? No way. No.
You're going to get caught. I mean, I've learned that with all the people I deal with. You're going to get caught. You can't hide it. The best thing to do is just not even try to fraud or commit a crime. It's going to catch up with you at some point.
But everybody thinks in the back of their mind, I've got the perfect solution. Yeah. I'll never get caught.
Yeah.
Something happens, you get caught.
Yes.
All right. Do I need to get on subject, Danielle? And she's just kind of smiling at me, so I guess I need to get back to the main subject of child support in Alabama. Now, I know we've covered this before, but there's still people out there that have not heard the show, and they still want to know more about it. And, Melvin, there's so many things to cover with child support. I mean, it's not just a simple subject because there's so many different ways. It's just unbelievable when it comes to child support. So I mean, well, we can start off when a couple gets divorced, and I'll just go one route. So each husband and wife, now ex-husband, ex-wife, they decide, well, we want to keep the child weak, and I want to keep the child weak. Well, let's do joint custody. So tell me what goes on with joint custody on child support.
A lot of times, the majority of times, most people agree that each parent will be solely responsible for that child during their custodial times, and they don't have to pay the other parent. That's what people agree to. Now, if you have a hearing on it and the court has to follow the law, then what happens is you take each parent's child support obligation and subtract it. For instance, I take the father's child support obligation for the mom. Well, okay. You'd see what the father would owe the mom if he had full custody. You'd see what the mom would owe the father if she had full custody. And then you subtract the difference, and then that person would pay. So if I did the dad's child support, he would owe mom $500. Did the mom's child support, she'd owe the dad $400. Then he just pays the $100 difference. Okay. You don't have to switch $500 to do $400. Right. You switch the $100 difference. So that's what the court does. Now, the court has a lot of leeway in that. You know, if it's a smaller number, 70, 80 bucks, whatever else, they may not even do it. But, you know, there's a, you know, child support takes in consideration, takes in consideration your income, takes in consideration is there child care expenses, health insurance expenses. You know, all of that's factored into the child support numbers.
So now let's go with mom has daughter. Daughter wants to stay with mom, and the son wants to stay with daddy. So now you have a child in each custody of each parent. So what are we going to do about that?
Yeah, and that's essentially the same way. But sometimes that probably makes it easier. I don't know why I say that, but it does. For some reason, it seems like it makes it easier. You definitely do it. Hey, dad has a child, and mom has his child, and you just do the numbers. Now, when it gets really tricky, and I've had to do this a few times, is when there's like three kids. So one of them has two and the other one has one. You know, it's still the same way, but it gets really confusing. So most of the time, way it's handled is you kind of get an idea, and there's guidelines. People want to know, hey, how is child support figured? Why does this person have to pay? They got one kid and they pay, they got three kids and they pay $500 a month, and I got one kid got paid $400 a month. That ain't fair. Well, it's based on the individual parent's income. It's not based on everybody's, like the new spouse or the total household income. It's based on just the individual parent's income, and it's adjusted that way. You factor in, hey, maybe that other person, the health insurance costs are more. It's added in there. Maybe the daycare expenses are added in there that causes it to be. But there are actual guidelines. You actually add up. If I'm figuring it, I'm going to tell you how to do it real fast. I'm adding up somebody's child support. So I'll take the average income, monthly income of the father, the average monthly income of the mother. You add them together, and then you're going to get this total number. When you get this total number, you say, all right, well, how much of that total number is the father's? How much of that's the mother's? That's easy. You take the father's income, take it and divide the total number into it, and you get a percentage. He may have 55% and she may have 45% of the income. So what that means is that total number, dad makes $3,000, mom makes $2,000 a month. Total number is $5,000. All right. Well, dad is 60% of that. Mom is 40% of that $5,000. Well, when you take that $5,000, if they got one child, two children, three children, four children, I think it's even got it up to five children, we actually have some guidelines. It's called Rule 32. It's in the rule book, and it says, hey, for someone, it's divided every $50 for a family that has $5,000. Well, mom and dad has $5,000 income. They have one child. It's this number, two gotcha. Children. It's this number, whatever else. Once you get that number, then that's where you start adding in, hey, is there child care cost for is? You figure that into that number, you add it to it. If there's health insurance, you add that number into there, and then you come up with a sum. And then if, remember, go back to dad's got 60% of it. So let's say this sum adds up to be $700. Well, he's responsible for 60% of that money. 60 times 700 is $420. Gotcha. So his child support would be $420. If he pays the insurance, If he pays $100 a month towards insurance for the children, not his family, not the whole family, just towards his children, if he pays $100 a month towards insurance and that was added in that number, you'd take it, subtract that $100 from the $420. So $320 is what he pays the mom. The other $100 is going towards the insurance for the children. It sounds complicated. If you had the form and you look at the form, if you do it once or twice, man, I can do it in my head. It's just like bam, 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 bam.
I understand your formula. So
yes.
So if I'm dad, I'm better off probably if my ex-wife don't have a job. But now I'm not. Is that correct? Now I'm not considering her
sometimes
income as
not,
the sum.
Well,
my 60% is not going to be as high
to
with her
an
not
extent,
working.
And there's sometimes we figure. I mean, sometimes when you're trying to look at the numbers and you're balancing out numbers because everybody says, I'm going to support my children. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And it's good, but now if I'm a guy that's making, or if I'm a person, a parent that's making $300 a week and, $175 of it's going to child support, there, I can't live on that.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? There's no way I can live. So you have to be, plus I'm going to be subject to contempt, going to jail, right. Have my tax money refund, if I get any refund, taken and everything else. So you have to be fair, get the numbers right in there. So what you can do, if one of the parents is not working, you can impute minimum wage income, which is
on her or that person.
Yeah,
okay.
$1,257 a month. Sometimes you do the figures based on that, and you say, well, look, they can't, you know, yeah, they may not be working, but they can work, and if they work,
exactly.
They make minimum wage. Now, that got to be an issue, what, 3 or 4 or 5 years ago when it wasn't, we know when jobs were scarce.
Right.
Because that's something, you know, you go to holler court. You say they can go get a minimum wage job. You give us a minimum wage job. Tell
right.
us one they can go work at.
Yeah.
You know, it gets to be difficult. But you can impute it. Also, there's something. This happens a lot. But I think everybody's caught on. They don't do it as much. You know, I'm working, making $60,000 a year at a job and getting divorced. I said, all right, I'm going to go work at McDonald's for $8 an hour. And,
right.
And then we don't have to pay as much child support. When I get divorced, you know, when everything gets done, then I go back. Well, they're in the rules, and there's plenty of law. The Supreme Court's come back and said that the court can go back and impute that if you voluntarily quit your unemployment or you are voluntarily underemployed, the court can impute you. So the court can say, hey, look, you can work at $8 an hour at McDonald's.
Okay.
But your child support's going to be based on you making $60,000 because you did that on purpose.
Gotcha.
You know, you can make $60,000.
Wow,
you know.
I did not know that.
Yeah, you know, so they can do that. And that has happened. It's not much, but that has happened some. And, you know, the other, it gets kind of complicated is, hey, what if you got a person that just don't want to work making $60,000 a year? They're happy with a $30,000 a year job. Well, then you have the other parent says, hey, you know, they're making $30,000. If they got a degree and if they went out and got a job out here, they
right.
can make $60,000. You know, and, but most of the time, the courts, and you're going to have to be able to prove that that's the person's intent. You know what I'm
right.
saying? Their intent is to move jobs, make less money so they pay less child support.
Makes sense. But so let me ask you this. So it happens. And then he goes, and let's just say that he did get lower child support. Let's just say that he did. And 6 months later down the road, he goes back to that $60,000 or $70,000 job. Now, can the ex-wife, does she have to hire an attorney to go back to court to get that raised up? Or can she just go through the court system on her own
and
have it done?
She can file it, or a person can file it on her own. There is particulars you have to do, so it's a little bit difficult to do it on your own, but you
okay.
can. Another option, you know, a lot of people, and I send them that some, a lot of people come to me and that, you know, they're just struggling. They don't have the money. I mean, the filing fees. Okay. If you've already got divorced and you want to, and she's in this situation where she wants to modify her divorce, the filing fees, what is paid up front, not even paying lawyers, what's paid into the court right up front is I think it's $337, $331, or whatever it is, $336 up front. So, and it's like, it ends up being like $342. So if somebody comes to me and they say, look, you know, I've only got $100, $200. I say, man,
right.
you ain't even got enough money to pay the filing
exactly.
fees on this. So a lot of time with them people, I just send them over. I say, look, go to the DHR. DHR has child support enforcement. It's aggravating. They give you a big old package. You have to fill out all this stuff. But if you go do it, you don't have to pay the filing fees. And
okay.
And they use the – here in Coleman, and a lot of counties use the district attorney's office. So you have an attorney. you have someone in it. Actually, we have someone in Coleman County that's in the attorney's office, that a couple of them that works just on child support cases. So they'll help, they'll help the person get it through. And then typically the court costs are stuck on, on the other side. The other side has to pay the court costs.
So now if you would just bring somebody in so I can figure out where that $330 goes.
No,
look, I'm a taxpayer,
hey,
man.
Hey,
I want to know.
She is. She is going to come in. Well, I've talked to her about it. She reminded me this morning. She is going to come in. Yes.
Okay.
Couple 3 weeks, we'll have her in.
Well, Abby, are you going to take us out real quick on the mic to a commercial break?
Sure thing. You're listening to the Big D Radio Show on Live 95. Understanding the Law, Coleman's independent radio station. We'll be right back.
Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, is proud to present yet another local community program for Coleman. Join us immediately following Sports Talk Live on Thursdays for a brand new show that will help our listeners focus on lifestyle health, including working towards a goal of reaching your optimal weight and creating an optimal health environment for the rest of your life. Join host Sandy Seibert each and every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. for Path Changers, Habits of Health, immediately following Sports Talk Live, right here on the station that is all about Coleman, by Coleman, for Coleman. Live 95.5 FM, Coleman's Independent Radio. Hey guys, let's face it, we all want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best, so you're always on top of your game. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant, 735-3089, 735-3089. Look for the big scissors on the roof. Live 95 is Coleman's independent radio. And now it's time for Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And no lawyer on this show actually helped write that disclaimer. Here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Metherly.
Melvin, why is it I want to break out a guitar at that very last end? Dun, dun, dun,
dun. I don't know.
What's the odds of him throwing a little kiss in there sometimes? I mean, I know it's a law show, but come on.
We have to get him a good song.
Well, Abby's over here wanting to ask questions, so she's going to grab the microphone from me and ask Melvin a few questions about child support. Look, she has more knowledge than I do. What's up with that? Oh, my God. Hold on. He's playing
As a
Kiss.
Kiss. Beth.
He's playing Beth. Yeah. Keep on.
Hey, he could play. Well, the Beatles had the album Abbey Road, didn't they? Was there a song called Abbey Road, or was it just the album?
Yes, I think. That may have just been an album.
But I can't
come. Keep on. I want to listen to it just for a minute.
Me and the boys are playing, and we just can't find the sound.
Okay, that's enough.
All right, I appreciate that. Man, that was so good. Thank you, Jay. Oh, my God, I love Kiss.
Jay, you are the DJ. What I mean, is there a, did the Beatles have a song called Abbey Road, or was it just the album Abbey Road?
Why don't you ask the intern? She should know more than me.
Right? Okay. And her name is Abby, so she ought to know everything Abby. St. Bernard Abbey. You got St. Bernard. You know what St. Bernard Abbey is?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, it's here, and it's the school. It's the Catholic.
Maria Grotto.
Yes, St. Bernard Abbey is the, is that, that's the school. Yeah, that's this Catholic school here in Coleman. Named after you. You didn't know that, did you?
I didn't know that.
Right. Are you getting money out of it?
No, I'm not. It's a shame.
They're
I should.
Using your name. What's your question, Abby?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I was wondering, how long does a parent have to pay child support?
There are three things that stops child support in Alabama, and I think most of the states are probably the same. The child gets married. So if the child's married now, well, I think if the child's married, period, no matter if he's out on his own or not. Because the law states when a child turns 19, so that's the age, 19. There's an exception. We'll talk about it in a second. When a child becomes married or when a child is self-supporting. Now, I've never thought about the deal, hey, if the child's married and still living in the home. But I would imagine, I mean, the law states when it becomes married. So I guess the date you're married. And it's whichever happens first, too, okay? So you said you're 17.
Yes,
so if you got married and child support was being paid on your behalf, then it would automatically stop. The other thing is when a child is self-supporting, and that becomes an issue a lot of times because I have people come in and says, well, hey, this my girl Abby, she's 17 years old, and she's got a job. She's getting paid. I don't have to pay child support anymore. And that it's not when a child's got a job. It's when a child is self-supporting. So when she's out, if Abby moved out on her own, lived on her own, then it would stop at that time. So That is it. And so you can see probably for most people stops at age 19. And that's not an automatic thing. Something that's kind of happened to me. I've been doing this 15 years, and over the last 2 years, I've filed this four or five times. I've never really realized this. There is a form that you can get online and file. I can't even I think it's a termination of child support form. You can Google it and find it. Alabama has one. You can fill out this form, turn it in to the clerk's office, and what you're saying is, hey, I'm current. I've paid all my money. The child turns 19 on this date, and the judge will, and what you request is, hey, the money's is garnished from my wages. I want it to stop because a job, if the child support's coming taken out of your check, the job don't know when your child turns 19. They're going to keep on taking it out until a judge tells them to stop. So you can file this form saying, hey, my child's turned 19. My child's self-supporting. My child got married, whatever else. File this form with the court and ask the judge to please stop the withholding order. Because, there are cases, and I do have some, where the money still, after a child turns 19, the money's still taken out. So that's generally it. The only exception, Abby, that I'm going to say is, and I've only had this happen to me twice in 15 years, if a child is physically, mentally disabled, like maybe has mentally retarded, something like that, something that, Down syndrome, something that requires the child to be under the care of a parent for, rest of their life. If you file, if I'm not mistaken, you have to file it before they turn age 19. You can file something and request the court to keep on ordering the other parent to contribute money, to help raise the child. And that does happen, if the child doesn't have the money. The issues then, we can spend 2 hours on this. The issues then becomes is, most of the time them children are receiving Social Security money. So the question is, well, how does that figure into what the child support amount and stuff like that is? And usually, everybody just does a math, come up, see what kind of where the numbers lay, and then you just come up with some agreement, and usually the other parent helps pay for some expenses. Sometimes the Social Security money takes care of all of it.
But what happens if the other parent doesn't pay the child support?
You have to, if a parent is not paying child support, you have to file a contempt petition. So if someone come in and say, hey, I've got divorced, or we had a child support order 2 or 3 years ago,
they paid for 2 or 3 months and they quit paying, or they're behind, they're not paying like they're supposed to, then you file what is called a contempt petition, and you say, and essentially what you're saying is, Judge, set this case for a hearing, order this person to appear, and have them to show cause and tell why they shouldn't be held in contempt of court for not paying the child support. And that's what they do. That person has to get served. The parent will get served. They'll go to court, and they have to present a legitimate excuse. You have to present your case, too, but you present a case, hey, here's the money, here's what's owed, that this person has the ability to pay, they're just not paying it. They're doing it out of spite, on purpose, they just don't want to pay child support. And then the other side has to present reasons why they're not paying support. And if they hold you in contempt, usually what they do on the first or second time, they'll hold you in civil contempt, and the court will enter an order, say, hey, you're $5,000 behind. You're going to pay $100 a month or $75 a month towards that $5,000. You get out of jail, or you stay out of jail by keeping your current payment and then paying some towards your back payment. And that's it. Every once in a while, and it does happen, you know, 2, 3, 4 times they just quit. You know, they change jobs, don't pay, don't do what they're supposed to. Eventually, the judge will put them in jail. Say, you don't get out until you pay X amount of money. And that's how you force it. That's how a contempt petition is enforced. But that's some good questions. Something we deal with every week. I mean, every week you're dealing with contempts, and you're dealing with, hey, how do I fix this child support? How does it happen? What do we do?
So how's Dad going to pay the child support when he's in jail?
Well, luckily now they have really – And I guess it's probably a lot of them around. Maybe all the jails are doing it, but it's surprising in Coleman, the work release. I don't know the employers, but now the employers pay good money too. See, I was wondering, maybe the employers are getting a break because they're not having to pay, only had to pay $4, $5 an hour for these employees, but they're not. The employers around here that gets these work release guys are, a lot of times, and girls too, they're paying 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 bucks an hour.
Wow.
Yes.
Did not know that.
So that money goes into the, so that's work release, that money goes into the court system, and, that's how they do it. They'll get a check like that, but that's another question we'll have to ask our circuit clerk, you know, if that, and that's something we were discussing earlier, you know, if that person's in jail on criminal charges and they owe the state money, and then they're in jail on a child support case, you know, how's that money divided, right? And who gets what first? And
wow,
it gets to be tough, you know. Then you got all the out of state stuff, and there's a lot of things with it. Something else, answer one of Abby's questions. If a And I believe it's income based. A person can go to the Department of Human Resources Child Support Unit, and you can get money. It's called AFDC money, which is Aid for Families with Dependent Children. That's welfare money set aside, and they kind of figure out what your child support's going to be. They'll pay the money. The state will pay the money, but then they go after the other side. And make them pay the money back. Yeah. And the state will get their money back, because that's the advantage of, and that's a lot of times why I send people to the, if they can't afford it, I send them to the child support unit, because DHR is a state agency. So they have access to a lot of records. For instance, stuff that's hard for us to get. They just call over the labor department or Department of Revenue, whoever, and says, hey, this person, this social security number, who's paying in their withholding, their income withholding, or, you know, who's paying their state taxes? What if they say, well, hey, he's working for Goldenrod Broilers. That's where we get money from. Maybe that other parent don't know where this one is working.
Right.
Well, you just found out. DHR, they're able to get the access to that records, find out how much you get paid. You know, they get all the pay records. They got the access to it, so they can go after them. And then, because they're a state agency, if you owe back child support, if the other parent gets income tax refund money, they'll send something to IRS, and the IRS withholds that money out.
And I knew of one instance of a gentleman that had a checking account, and somehow they found out about his checking account and seized it. several years ago here in Coleman.
Yeah, he may have. Yeah, they do a garnishment on it, and it takes out that right there. It just takes out what money's in there at that point. Boy, and yeah, you can get some people in a bind. I've had them come to my office in a bind when they get hit that garnishment, and they're like, I got to pay all my bills, and all my money's gone. And
well,
you can't stop it. You can't do it today because it's all out. The banks will hold it, and then they'll follow. The other side will file something with the court to condemn the money and give them the money, and the judge, he'll enter it, and it's out. So how they get the bank numbers, I don't know. Probably, hey, you're just not thinking. You write a check, send them a check. You know, somehow you send a check to the right person. They get the information.
And just to let everybody know, now, this is no more, I don't think, a county thing as far as paying your child support. It's all going through Montgomery now.
It's all going through Montgomery. One time, you could pay it through the court system, and I think they would withhold like a dollar. It was just a minute fee, $1 or $2. I think it's just $1 a month. So if you owed $400 a month and you paid them $400, $399 would go to child support, $1 would go to the administrative fee, and the clerk's office would mail that out, and it just got to be too much. So now, if the money is paid out, it goes to the Alabama Centralized, Alabama Centralized something unit, child support unit, I think it's what it's called. But it's, it's in Montgomery. I used to remember the P.O. box number, but you just send the money there and send your whole 16-digit case number. And at one time there's mailing out checks. Now I think everybody was put on a debit card, what's collected.
So. I bet nobody loses that card.
I wonder.
That's like a little gold mine. Don't you ever touch my card. Yeah.
You know, I think the, you got to keep up with how much. I think the hardest thing is probably keeping up with. If you don't spend the money off, you got to keep up with, all that person.
Melvin,
that person paying.
Come on. You know that
most of them spends the money off. I'm sure it does. As soon as it hits it, they know how much is in there.
That's it.
How much is owed.
Wow.
Yeah, it gets to be it's tough because there's a lot of I tell people you're making a bit, you gotta get the emotions out of it and make business decisions, and it is
that's all it is. That's all it is.
You're dealing with money, you're dealing with business decisions. You can't get the emotions, and then the common question I have is, well, I'm not getting to see my children. I'm not paying child support. Well, the judges will be quick to tell you that child support one thing and custody and visitations is another. You can't be in contempt when the other side's contempt. You know what I'm saying? You can't sit there and say, well, he ain't paying, I'm not letting him see the kids. Or she ain't paying, I'm not letting him see the kids. It doesn't work that way.
Exactly.
Both of you've got orders to follow, and they expect you to.
Some people, and I've seen it myself 4 million times, people being just downright nasty when it comes to their kids and seeing the other parents.
And if you ask them, every single one of them will tell you, I would never use my kids against
them. Oh, yeah. You hear that every day.
It happens.
And then it happens that following Friday.
It happens, yes.
But, and it's one thing that I always remember, Dave Ramsey, if you ever listened to him, a financial advisor out of Nashville, he always tells you now, marriage is a business.
It is a business.
That's exactly what it is now. It's a business partnership.
Yep. But, it would be tough. I guess if I was a parent and the other side wouldn't help me wasn't fulfilling their obligations, it would be tempting to say, you know what, I'm not going to fulfill my obligations. But that just, it gets you in trouble. And in the end, is it best for your child? And I know there's some mad mamas out there saying, hey, it ain't, you don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
I understand it is emotional, unfortunately, you can't change the fact that is the dad of your child. You know what I'm saying? And you just gotta hope that he makes the right decisions. And then, you get the and these child support numbers. Another common question, they say, well, hey, I've got two children now of my own. I've got remarried and got two children of my own. Well, the courts don't take that in consideration. It is your income.
Exactly.
Because the whole idea behind child support is children shouldn't suffer because their parents are not together. So you take mom's income and you take dad's income and say, all right, if they were together, what kind of money would this, what kind of lifestyle would this child be living? What kind of money would it take that they would be spending on this child? I don't know how they do the formula. They do the numbers. They just changed them, about 4 or 5 years ago, and that's the first time they changed them, no telling how many years. They bumped him up.
And I don't try to be lied about anything, but how many times has someone come to you, now it's time to get a divorce, and he says, I'm not the baby's daddy?
Yeah.
How many times has that happened? A few?
It happens a few, yeah. It does, you know, and some of them question it, and it gets to be a little complicated, you know, because there is a presumption that is your child. Hey, I've had people come there, it's been separated 4 or 5 years, and the wife's had 2 or 3 kids since then, you know what I'm saying? Guess what? He's still married to her. That is still, even though he's been around her,
here we go.
That is still his presumption to be his kid. So you have to, you know, when you go to court and get them divorced, there's an issue you have to deal with. Yeah.
All right. So let's say that I'm asking for a friend because I'm not married or anything. So it's all good. And for the record, I've never been married. So good luck pinning that against me. But let's say that my friend over here has a really good job as a network administrator. He's making, you know, 6 figures a year. Life's good. She cheats on him. He can't stand her. He gets a divorce and decides he's no longer a network administrator. He's now going to go change oil at Express Oil Change. I'm not picking on oil change people, but I'm assuming about a $70,000 a year drop in salary. What happens?
That's where we go back to if the court determines that you are voluntarily underemployed, that you're not making the kind of money that you can, they can impute that income to you. So when you're doing them child support numbers, they're not going to base it on that $30,000 a year job. They're going to base it on that $100,000, which is a pretty significant, significant difference. Yeah. So the court's going to say, hey, you work wherever you want to, but you're going to pay this much child support. And then if you don't pay it, then you sit in jail when they file a contempt petition.
Hey, free room and board, free meals. Hey, what do you know?
As long as you're in the cell by yourself, you're good.
Yeah.
Now, if you got a big old partner in there in the jail cell with you.
Well, some people are into that, Daryl.
Well, know. You know, to each their own.
Hey, I tell you, it's a recycle. I mean, I was in criminal court today, and it's just a recycle. You just recycle the same people. I don't understand it. How people in 10 years, I've seen them in court 4 or 5 times and they're going back to prison again. I'm like, man, at some point, don't you just got to quit?
Man.
You know, don't you just stop? You know, and they get breaks. They get a break because they get put on probation. Then they get 1 or 2 violations, and they may be little small violations. Go to prison, get out, and then violate again.
Oh, okay.
Go back to prison.
I want to say this before we go to break, and this might be rude of me, but I'm going to say it anyway. So if that guy comes back to me, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to gladly take your money, and I'll see you in 2 years.
See you in 2 years, yeah.
So you can pay my car payment again. You're listening to Understanding the Law with Coleman attorney Melvin Haston. We'll be back in just a moment.
Here's a new Live 95 suggestion on how to prepare for the new work week. On Sunday night, you cook dinner. You help the kids finish their homework. You scream at your husband. You take the trash out. You make sure your kids brush their teeth. You tuck them in, sigh loudly, then pick up your remote control and turn on Sunday Night Live on Live 95. It's like being at a music festival, but without the illegal vapors, bright lights, and rednecks around you. However, if you want to make it more authentic, you can pour beer all over yourself. Sunday Night Live, all live tracks, from 9 o'clock until midnight, right here on Coleman's independent radio station, Live 95. Live 95, Coleman's independent radio, is proud to present yet another local community program for Coleman. Join us immediately following Sports Talk Live on Thursdays for a brand new show that will help our listeners focus on lifestyle health, including working towards a goal of reaching your optimal weight and creating an optimal health environment for the rest of your life. Join host Sandy Seibert each and every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. for Path Changers, Habits of Health, immediately following Sports Talk Live, right here on the station that is all about Coleman, by Coleman, for Coleman.
Live 95.5 FM, Coleman's Independent Radio. Welcome back. Live 95 is Coleman's Independent Radio. You're listening to Understanding the Law, a show taking your questions about how the law affects you. A show that is a deep discussion on the most common topics that come up in a law office and how the system of law works right here in Coleman County. If you have a question about the law, give us a call here at the Live 95 studio at 256-737-9505. This program is made possible by the support of local Coleman attorney Melvin Hastings. Views and opinions presented on this show are not the views and opinions of Live 95 staff or management. You should independently verify information heard on this program yourself. And now, once again, here's your host for Understanding the Law, Big D, Daryl Netherly.
Welcome back to Understanding the Law. You know how bad I am to change subjects. So, can I say this? Or ask this. So let's have some fun on Understand the Law here in about another 2 or 3 weeks, okay? So why don't we try to bring Blake in, the real deal, Mr. O'Neill, bring in Tommy Drake, and let's do nothing but Alabama politics. Melvin, you
that
know
would
we
be pretty good.
You I mean, know we would have fun doing that. Right?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Well, I think right off the bat, that'll be a 2-hour show.
Yeah, you know, tomorrow's the end of the qualifying date for the U.S. Senate seat for Jeff Sessions. You know, the one that he. So everybody, if anybody's going to decide to run for U.S. Senate, you have to qualify by tomorrow. I imagine, God, the filing fee is probably $4,000, $5,000 on it. Yeah, I mean, the qualifying fee it's ungodly. It'd be high.
So what's the fee that you have to pay to be governor?
Well, I mean, it's based on the salary. So I imagine it's $3,000-$4,000. Yes. So what you do is you go to the party, either Republican or Democrat, right, and you pay that qualifying fee to get your name on the ballot.
Well, you got all these special interest groups paying you in your back pocket. So that's not that's
well,
not
really if you're lucky enough to get that money, if you can convince them to get the money.
Well, of course you're going to get
it. Yeah.
So look, we need to do that. Man, we'd have so much fun. We could talk about Bentley again and everybody that wants to run for governor. And
see what comes out about Luther Strange and stuff.
Luther Strange. You know, Luther Strange caught a lot of slack when he was first trying to get into politics. And, I mean, he was just a hot topic for a while, and it just kind of went away. I mean,
he's fixing to get heated up again with this Senate seat. Yeah. That's a big deal.
Mm. So anybody, I mean, how's our governor doing?
Kay Ivey.
I don't hear anything about her now.
Don't hear much. She's probably doing the smart thing.
Staying low and waiting for re-election.
Yes.
And who knows? She may sweep it. You never know.
She stays low enough. Yep.
Wow. Man, I should run for governor. I seriously should. But anyway. All right. Abby's got a question. I'll get off my little heyday.
Hey.
Hello, Miss Abby.
So I know the parent that doesn't have sole custody of the child often gets visitations. Is that correct?
Yes. If everyone, and of course there's always exceptions, but everyone is entitled to visit with their children. The only what the courts can do is set out the parameters. For instance, they can set out the time limits, the days, and is it supervised or not. Now, of course, an exception would be, it's happened a few times, you know, if you're abusing your child, sexually abusing your child, of course, or seriously physically abusing your child, then that stops, you know. But otherwise, and if your rights hadn't been terminated, you get to visit with your children. Most standard visitations are, every other weekend type stuff. You know, usually Fridays to Sundays. Some courts, Coleman kind of has a standard, and Morgan County might have a standard, and Lawrence County might have a standard. And
you know, the court say, hey, this is what we follow, but it's not rigid. Sometimes you have to be flexible because you take consideration, hey, you may have a parent that works every weekend, so that weekend schedule doesn't work. You know, you have to take in consideration the school. When somebody comes in and talks to me about, hey, I'm trying to set up this visitation schedule. Well, you may have one parent lives in Battleground and one parent lives in Hanceville. You know, two totally different ends of the county. So you got to say, all right, when do you work? Where do you work at? How are you going to get that child back and forth to school? You know, they say, well, I want to keep my child week to week. Well, that's good. How are you going to do this when you work 12 hours a day? You know, you're not married. You don't have anybody here to help you out. What are you going to do about taking, about visiting with your child? So visitation schedules are real complicated. Our judges here are, and what Judge Nicholas, he handles pretty well all the divorce cases now. He's real plain with people. He tells them, says, look, you know your life, you know your work schedule, you know your school schedule, you know how things are. You are parents of these kids. You need to be making the decisions. You know, I mean, that's what he announces in court before trials. And he really tries to encourage people. Use your own common sense. Get your emotions out of it. Make a business decision, you know, and do what's right for you and your kids. Because, like he says, I think last week there's a 4-day trial in divorce, but that's rare. Most of the time, you know, I mean, I do divorce cases, maybe 3, 4, 5 hours, 6 hours, would be a long one for me. 6 hours would be in court. Well, he's going to hear all this information about how bad the other parent is or the other spouse is and all this stuff. Hear all this stuff about what kind of assets and debts they've acquired. And then you're going to throw in, well, they got some kids and this is the situation. Then he's got to try to make a decision. All right, what are we going to, you know, what am I going to do with visits on these kids? And it's hard to sit there and try to, you know, a lot of times he says, look, I'm just going to put this standard order out there and that's what your visit's going to be. Well, Judge, I can't do that. Well, you know, I gave you plenty of opportunities before I even tried your case. I sent you to mediation, sent you to another lawyer, let another lawyer try to help you out. We've tried every way we can to make you settle this case amongst yourselves. You can't do it. You threw it in my hands. It's just the way you just gonna have to live with it.
And so earlier you mentioned supervised visits.
Yes, ma'am.
What constitutes having a supervised visit?
I know. And the other thing is, a lot of parents, or whenever they come in and get divorced, they want the other parent to have supervised visits. And so my common question is, okay, that's great. Who's going to supervise? Well, I will. I say, okay. So the judge orders that your husband, let's say, is going to have supervised visits. The ex-wife is going to supervise. Well, soon be ex-wife's going to supervise the visits, and he's going to visit them from Friday at 5 till Sunday at 5. So are you going to move in with him, or is he going to move in with you to supervise it? And then people say, oh, well, I'll get mama to do it. I said, okay. So your mama is going to let this person move in? Well, I got a sister. Well, you know what I'm saying? And that's why the supervise, when people, a lot of people, because it's emotions again, they're not making good decisions for their children. They're not making good business decisions. They just throw stuff out there and they just want everything they want it their way. And I say, look, you know, supervised sounds good. And if it needs to be, there are certain situations where it needs to be supervised. But what is that telling your kids? You know, are you telling your kids he's a bad dad or that's a bad mom and we got to watch over you? You think about all the people you're inconveniencing with doing that stuff. And then the other thing is they say, well, we can do supervised at these little agencies. There are some agencies around Coleman. Well, you're going to get 1 or 2 hours if you're lucky. And then there's only so many time slots. There's only so many people that they supervise and things. So then you got to try to figure out, okay, that you want your supervised visits. They can do them at Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. Well, I don't get up at 7 o'clock Saturday morning. I'm sorry, that's it. You have to get up at Saturday. You want your supervised visits. This is what you get. And a lot of times they back off. But, you know, supervision is usually by another responsible adult. But it's necessary. There's no doubt it's necessary in some instances. But people really go overboard with it. It's really not fair.
What if someone loses their job?
You're talking about when they're paying the child support amount.
Yes.
Remember, I said that the court can impute your wages if you voluntarily are underemployed. But it does happen
where you got someone that's making $50,000-$60,000 a year, and all of a sudden they lost a job, plant closes, whatever, they're laid off, and they go down to a $20,000 job. Okay. So if that person comes into me, we file what's a petition to modify. You say, Judge, look, here's the situation. The divorce says I'm supposed to pay this much money. When I was paying this much money, I was earning this kind of income. Now I'm only earning a lot less income. And the law states this. I don't want to say automatic, but it is a presumption that the child support should change if the child support amount, not the income, if the child support amount changes by $10. So, hey man, $10%. And you can't believe, and people love it, and I kind of giggle sometimes about it. Somebody's paying $500 and jobs change, and let's say that the new child support amount is $500, and this has happened to me, is $549. All right, it hadn't changed that 10% because it hadn't changed by $50. It only changed by $49.
Wow.
The child support don't change, boy. Or if they're trying to get it lowered, and it's the same way then. If it don't change by 10%, then there's not a presumption that it should change.
Wow.
And I know we get close to running out of time. Let me tell you another misconception people will do. I see them repeat all the time, and I tell them, I warn people, I say, look, you're going to be back in here in about a year or 6 months. You need to really consider doing this right the first time. They're going there, and they're agreed to a certain amount just to get divorced. Well, and then they say, well, I'm just going to come back, and I'll get more later on. Well, you know, if you agree to $300 child support now, and you're supposed to be paying $500 a month, well, the parent agrees to $300 now, but let's say she should be receiving $500 a month. She can't get divorced this month and come back 2 months. All right, Judge, now I want my $500. Uh-huh. There has to be a change of circumstances. You have to prove, hey, when I got divorced and I tipped to $300 a month, you know, things was like this. Now it costs more money. You know, my children growing. I had to buy them a car. I had to spend more money in school fees. It's cost me more money in this, more money in that. And get it changed, because you'd be surprised how many people come and agrees to say take a lesser amount.
I can't imagine
just
that.
They get divorced.
I cannot imagine.
Well, they've got a lot of times. What you find out is they've got a wedding date planned. So they got to get divorced on this day, so it gets final, so they can get the next wedding.
Wow,
that's great questions, Abby. Though,
good. Thank you, Abby. You have been listening to Understanding the Law, Coleman attorney Melvin Haste, and executive producer Danielle Crawford, Abby, our intern, and your host, Big D. We will be back next Tuesday at 6 p.m. for another edition. And you can also catch the Big D radio show right here on Live 95.5 Thursday at 6:30 p.m.
Hey, guys.
Yes.
Just to keep y'all happy, I have some Kiss coming up next.
Yes. We will see you next time. God bless you. God bless America.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Coleman.